and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely wonderful day today. A lot of stuff going on. Ted is on the Man Cow Show right now. You guys remember Man Cow was on our show a couple weeks ago. Great guy, very strong patriot, very strong conservative with a lot of the same beliefs and same radio show that we have, very similar too. Ted is on his show right now, so he will be buttoning that up here in the near future, and he will come back in the show with us if it doesn't run over. You never know with Man Cow. Sometimes he just goes on and on, so it really depends how it's going to go, but I've got a lot of information. I've been here in the office early this morning going over all types of intel to try to bring you guys the latest news of the day so you can stay up to date on everything that's going on. Yesterday, I didn't get a chance to talk about this yet because I wanted to have a little bit more time to elaborate on it. As you guys may have already seen, the federal judge in Washington ruled late Monday night that Trump administration's ban on bump stocks can move forward. This essentially blocked the efforts of Gun Owners of America, which is a firearm group, very strong patriot group, Second Amendment group. I support them. I don't support the NRA anymore. You guys have heard me say that before. I've been a huge, huge supporter of the NRA for years, all the way back to when I was younger. Remember Charlton Heston? And they completely have gone off the radar. They've gone off the deep end. They are totally bought and paid for by the globalist, in my opinion. They essentially don't do anything. And people say, oh, no, the NRA still does this, and they're the biggest lobbyists. Just because you throw around the biggest chunks of money doesn't mean you're making a positive impact in constitutional law or preserving the Second Amendment rights. Let's clarify that real quick. Just because you're throwing $100,000 here and $1 million here and $500,000 here in lobbyist money doesn't mean you're making an impact. If you're giving the money to individuals like Feinstein, or you're giving money to groups that really aren't doing anything significant, you're just washing money back and forth, and you're essentially becoming a laundromat for money, dirty money, whatever it may be, through the lobbyists, through the NRA. That's what I've seen now with the NRA, just my opinion. I've supported those guys. I've respected those guys. However, will not give them another penny anymore. Once they capitulated with the bump fire stock ban after the Las Vegas shooting, and they came out and said, we support a bump fire stock ban. We support this legislation. And after the Parkland shooting down here in Florida, after that was implemented, and now you can't even buy a firearm unless you're 21 in Florida, and they made it a felony to own bump fire stocks, and all the other things they added in with the red flag law, the NRA said, oh, we're okay with that as well. We're okay with that. Well, we'll let that slide for now. And so that's what they've continued to do. Gun owners of America have been very staunch in trying to fight a lot of this stuff. They filed multiple lawsuits, and they essentially were blocked. And the U.S. District Judge Dabney Friedrich found that the Firearms Policy Coalition, Gun Owners of America, and other groups did not put forward enough convincing legal arguments in favor of stopping the Trump administration from carrying out the bump stock ban. Friedrich said ATF did not violate any laws under the Administrative Procedure Act as it reconsidered whether a bump stock was a machine gun and declined to issue a preliminary injunction against the ban, which is what I figured that was going to happen. ATF's bump stock ban is slated to go into effect March 26th, which is less than a month now. At this point, bump stock owners will be required to destroy the devices by melting, shattering them, or dropping them off at an ATF agent office, or face felony possession of an unregistered machine gun, which is essentially, I think, 10 years in prison if my laws and statutes reminded of them. This is an issue. I expected this to happen. The problem is, and I've talked about this before, there's a lot of alphabet agencies in the United States government that operate and pretty much do whatever they want, but there's three big ones that pretty much operate with full impunity. That's the FBI, the DEA, that's the ATF. They essentially have no oversight whatsoever. They completely operate above the law. We've seen this all the way back to Ruby Ridge. We've seen this to Waco. We've seen this to numerous operations that ATF's been involved in, including Fast and Furious, where they ran over 2,000 machine guns and Barrett 50 caliber rifles down to the Mexican drug cartel and accidentally lost them, and there was zero ramifications. You never hear about an ATF agent being arrested. You never hear about one being indicted. You never hear about one being demoted. You never hear about one being put on trial. You sure as heck don't ever hear about one going to prison. Same with the FBI, same with DEA. So when these individuals in these alphabet agencies are given carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want, and then they're told by a current administration that essentially you need to ban these firearms, you need to figure out a way to ban this item, even if it's a plastic stock that has zero effect on the trigger assembly, they do it, and they do it with impunity, and there's no judge in the United States that's going to rule against them for fear of reprisal because the ATF acts on their own authority. So just thought I would add that in there. I really hope this would go somewhere, but unfortunately I pretty much assumed that it was not, and I was right about that. Also, too, in other news, I found this to be actually quite humorous. You guys remember earlier this week, the Massachusetts woman in the restaurant that assaulted the man with the MAGA hat on was arrested. She ended up hitting the individual who's Byron Turner, who's on video, yelled at him, tried to take his hat off. Even the bartender said Mr. Turner did nothing wrong. Police showed up. He didn't even want to press charges. She came over again and punched him and tried to tear his hat off in front of law enforcement. So she was charged, I think, with assault and disorderly conduct. Well, this is the irony now. The Brazilian woman who assaulted a man wearing the MAGA hat inside a Massachusetts restaurant has now been taken into custody by ICE. On Tuesday, ICE officials said Ms. Santos is in custody after determining she was in the country illegally. Deportation officers with ICE Fugitive Operations Team arrested Razan Santos in an unlawfully present citizen of Brazil today near Fargo, Massachusetts. ICE spokesperson John Matos reported on. They said she is currently facing local charges for assault, and she is presently in ICE custody and has been entered into removal proceedings before the Federal Immigration Court. Now, that was just a chuckling. It was just very ironic to me when I saw it this morning. You guys may not get the same level of humor out of that as I did, but somebody that demands you take a hat off while you're in a restaurant because they don't like what you say on the hat, what the hat stands for, and they demand you tear it off, they hit you in the face, they assault you, and then to find out they were in this country illegally just goes to show you, the level that a lot of these individuals are operating on. The hypocrisy knows no bounds. Could you imagine being in, say, England, just England? They have a king and queen over there, and they're running around with God Save the Queen, Make UK Great Again. Okay. And I'm over there illegally. I'm not even supposed to be in the UK. I snuck in on a boat. I have no idea why I'd want to go into the UK anyways. But I'm over there, and somebody's wearing a hat that says, Make the UK Great Again. And I run over to them, and I sucker punch them, and I start hitting them and demand they take their hat off because I don't like the idea of making the UK great again. I would literally be eviscerated on the mainstream media, the BBC, CNN, every single news outlet would eviscerate me for being some type of white nationalist, some type of hate crime person that was going around hitting people in another country when I was there illegally. It would be an absolute joke. They'd make a mockery out of me. But again, the mainstream media, majority of them have not even covered any of this. And the thing that's being quite frustrating about this is another video has emerged showing a young Trump supporter being harassed and attacked by a bigger student at a high school, Edmond Santa Fe High School in Edmond, Oklahoma, this week. The video was recorded, the bully saying, you're going to take it off now. As the younger student tried to walk past him, the bully said, where do you think you're going? I'm going to take your hat off. I'm going to rip it off. I can rip it off or burn it. Which one do you want? The younger student didn't retaliate, while other students tried to intervene and calm down the unhinged bully. They later de-escalated the situation, and the Trump supporter with the hat was able to get away from the bully. As I've reported, though, now, attacks against Trump supporters wearing MAGA hats have reached a point of occurring almost daily. daily now, guys, where the mainstream media blacks them out, the main CNN, all the main people black them out, and they instead want to cover fake hate crime hoaxes and demonize Trump supporters. It boggles my mind to how many individuals on the left, both blacks and whites, are mad and disappointed and upset that the Jesse Smollett hate crime, fake hate crime, hoax crime, whatever you want to call it, was a fake. I've seen that repeated Twitter articles, repeated statements of the being disappointed. I'm so upset this was fake. I'm so disappointed. What? Are you kidding me right now? This guy perpetrated a fake hate crime on himself, and you're disappointed he did so? Again, guys, it goes back to exactly what I've been talking about. They have to demonize anybody that is about making America the way it was before. The nationalism, the national pride, the pride in the Constitution, the patriot movement. It has to be demonized at any point they can do it. We've seen at least four attacks now against Trump supporters in the last week alone, with a fifth one occurring yesterday that I just got word of. We saw last week the woman assaulted a man for simply wearing a MAGA hat, which now she's being deported. A few days before that, a crazed lunatic pulled a gun on a Trump supporter outside of a Sam's Club. In the same week, a shoe store employee berated a 14-year-old boy for wearing his MAGA hat in the store. We just saw the video of the kid in Oklahoma. Now, there was one in New Jersey that was yesterday. Franklin Township, New Jersey, an elderly man was assaulted inside a New Jersey supermarket after he was confronted over his MAGA hat. Somerset County Prosecutor Michael Robinson says the 81-year-old Franklin Township man was shopping at ShopRite on Elizabeth Avenue Monday afternoon when he was approached regarding his red MAGA hat. The victim was punched in the face and the attacker ran off. He only sustained minor injuries, according to the prosecutor, and he declined any medical attention at the scene. 81 years old, shopping, minding your own business, putting items in your cart to take home so you can cook dinner for yourself or for your wife or for your grandkids, and you get sucker punched by an individual because you're wearing a hat and verbally accosted. These are the things that are happening on a daily basis now because the mainstream media, in conjunction doing the bidding of the globalist, has gone and made sure they're going to demonize anybody that has any national pride in the United States now, and they have done so succinctly and so clearly with this entire aspect of making sure anybody that wears a MAGA hat is essentially demonized and assaulted and beat on a regular basis. Absolutely crazy. Also, to in other news, Tommy Robinson from the UK, you guys followed him before, he was arrested and incarcerated. They even tried to put essentially a kill order out why he was arrested by the other Muslim inmates. He survived that. I've had a lot of people say, well, maybe this is a psychop with Tommy Robinson. Maybe he's not doing this. Maybe he's doing that. Maybe he's working for that. I don't know. I don't know Tommy Robinson personally. I've seen a lot of the stuff he has said. Some of the stuff he said is, you know, he's got some rhetoric to it. But on other aspects, some of the stuff he said is very, very accurate. And honestly, most of the stuff he says isn't much different than what we say. Some of the ways he's acted and some of the videos have surfaced where he's, you know, very drunk. I've seen that. I don't agree with that. However, he is trying to wake up the UK, and that's what I think he's trying to do. His overall lifestyle may not be perfect, but he is trying to wake up the general population of the United Kingdom of this Muslim invasion. Well, because he's doing that now, his entire Facebook page and Instagram account were now deleted yesterday afternoon. The social media giant accused Tommy Robinson of encouraging violence against Muslims online. Tommy Robinson has hit back, claiming that the ban is due to a film he made accusing mainstream media of demonizing him, and he slammed the move as full-blown censorship. The site accused Mr. Robinson of repeatedly flouting rules designed to prevent organized hate on the site. Tommy Robinson's Facebook pages repeatedly posted material that uses dehumanizing language and calls for violence targeted at Muslims, Facebook reportedly said. Mr. Robinson said he did not agree, obviously, with the ban. It was censorship, claiming the corrupt media and the establishment were trying to silence any opposition to their globalist plans. Again, I can't really argue with what he says. He added, and I quote, "When putting me in prison and trying to kill me wasn't working, they've now tried to get mainstream documentaries to destroy my name with false allegations. That hasn't worked. Now the establishment has gone for the plan of completely removing me from the public sphere. People will fight against this censorship. You're not just censoring me, you're censoring the public's option of listening to what I have to say. This is a complete attack on free speech, which is going on across the world." Very, very true words. This is what I've reportedly talked about even earlier this week and last week, where Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter have all come out now and started to block ads or block articles that talk about vaccine dangers, that talk about the adjuvants in vaccines that cause brain damage and neurological disorders, blocking them now. Pinterest is all, it literally banned everything. You can't even discuss anything about vaccines now that's anti-vaccine or question the vaccine on Pinterest now. This is exactly what he says right here. This is a complete attack on free speech across the world. You're not just censoring me, you're censoring the public's option of listening what I have to say. Very, very true words. And it's interesting because so much of this has been going on globally, and he has been a very big advocate of waking up the population. And as we have seen now, the social media groups have done everything they can to go in and block free speech, block true news, block alternative media, block anything and everything that could possibly be the truth or go against their globalist agenda, and ban it as basically hate speech. I talk about it all the time. They have a Muslim invasion in the UK. They have a Muslim caliphate over there. I mean, they have no-go zones all over the UK. I've talked to people that live over there, real people that actually tell you the truth. They have places they can't even go that the local police will not even go that are full-blown Sharia law caliphates. They can't even touch these individuals. And we see story after story after report of Muslim rapings, Muslim robbings, Muslim knifings, Muslim beheadings all across Europe. Yet the media wants to say that they're a peaceful group, that they need to be brought more in, that they need to be able to have carte blanche immunity to whatever they want. Speaking of carte blanche immunity, as we see these individuals have literally almost no recourse for what they do. We see individuals in Sweden and Germany and the UK that simply go on Facebook and talk about a Muslim gang that tried to attack them or that robbed them or that raped their daughter, and they have the police at their door within the day telling them you can't talk about that. That's forbidden. You can't bring that up on social media. We have to silence you. You have to delete that or we're going to arrest you. Yet at the same time, we see groups of gang-raping Muslim hordes in Europe that get away with stuff. For example, this is from February 18th last week from the from Mail Online. Syrian man accused of gang raping an 18-year-old girl along with 10 other men in Germany will appear in juvenile court despite being age 22. Majad Heech allegedly orchestrated the brutal four-hour gang rape of an 18-year-old teenager, which took place after he allegedly drugged her at a nightclub in Freiburg on October 14th last year. The court says Mahad raped the woman outside the club before calling nine of his friends, ages 19 to 30, who took turns in sexually assaulting her. Eight other suspects in the nightclub rape case are being held in investigation custody, but have not yet been charged. Police are still looking for an 11th suspect who is currently on the run. At the time of the assault, Majid had an arrest warrant against him for a drug offense and was already supposed to be arrested on the 23rd of October. The warrant described Majid as a dangerous individual, a repeat offender, stating it was highly probable he might commit other offenses, including grievous bodily harm and sexual coercion. One of the other crimes which Majid is charged with is the alleged rape of a 19-year-old girl, September 2017, when he was 20 years old. The German media then has put a spin on it and reported that Majid was under 21 at the time of his crimes. However, it is now being reported that he's 22. They said he was under 21 on all of his current crimes before. Despite this, he is now going to appear in juvenile court, which again we have seen happen in Sweden repeatedly. He'll go in, they'll give him community service, he'll have to pay the girl back $2,500, and he'll probably do 6 months in jail, won't be deported, will let back out in the community after 6 months, and will do the exact same thing again. He's a drug offender. He's already gotten charged with rape before. He had a warrant out for arrest. They stated in the warrant he was a dangerous individual. He gang raped a girl that was 18 years old with 9 of his friends, and they're now going to charge him in juvenile court. Please explain to me any other part of the world where this would be okay and you would get away with this type of behavior, especially as being an immigrant from another country. Could you imagine doing something like this over in communist China, where 8 or 9 United States citizens were over there, immigrants from the U.S., and they gang raped a Chinese national, brutally gang raped her, was already been arrested for drug offense, already raped another girl before, and you get caught, and they're going to say, well, you know, he was underage when a lot of that happened, which, by the way, I don't even understand, under 21. I thought it was under 18, but apparently Germany's changed the law on that. And it's because, quite frankly, a lot of that stuff has changed because they want to allow the pedophilia to run rampant. As you guys know, France has even said there essentially is no age of consent anymore, that as long as, you know, somebody consents, doesn't matter if they're 10, 11, 12-year-old child and the other person's an adult, that as long as they consented and you can't prove that it was against their will, that it's essentially not pedophilia. This is the same thing that's starting to go on in Germany now as well, as courts have ruled with the child marriage and everything else, and it's okay because it's with their law, with their Sharia law. This kind of stuff is unacceptable to me. This is the kind of acts, the kind of debauchery, the kind of sadistic behavior that is trying to be pushed on the American population, hence why we have this incredibly interesting congresswoman. I'm not even going to go any further in that because I want to try to keep this as clean as possible, but we have the congresswoman that wears a hijab in the congressional room, in the chambers, is not made to take it off, has continually supported Muslim jihad and Sharia law, and wants to go against everything that the United States is about, including constitutional law, and yet we're supposed to just sit around and be okay with it. These things are not okay, and they are not something we can be okay with, including that we see YouTube now, like I said before, has increasingly stepped up their rhetoric and banning individuals like ourselves, banning individuals like Alex Jones, banning individuals like I just talked about with Tommy, and now we find out now for years that the Free Thought Project has reported on the pedophilia content on the dark side of YouTube. And I've heard about some of this before. I've never really looked for it because I quite frankly don't want to. They said now, though, because this has gotten so rampant, major corporations are beginning to pull ads from YouTube because of them allowing rampant pedophilia content. Companies are cracking down on peaceful channels and censors. That is, YouTube is cracking down on peaceful channels and censors alternative media, but Long has allowed disturbing content on their platform. AT&T and Hasbro are among some of the major corporations who have just announced this month they will no longer purchase any advertisement on YouTube because it allows its pedophilia content to flourish. Hasbro said it's pausing all advertisements on YouTube and has reached out to Google to understand what actions they are taking to address the issue and prevent this type of content from appearing on their platform in the future. Nestle and Fortnite maker Epic Games pulled advertising as well, while YouTube censored videos of U.S. war crimes, guns, and other videos that peacefully question the established narrative, they have allowed this vile content to exist. As TFTP has reported numerous times, children are the last one YouTube's appear to be concerned with. In 2017, Comedian exposed one of these channels that has made millions promoting horrific videos, videos of little girls taped down to beds, children being tortured, all featured on this channel, and not only was it not removed, it had over 12 billion views combined. One of the videos on this channel was entitled Escaping from Your Bed in the Morning and featured a young girl immobilized on a bed with duct tape. It was certainly some type of weird child bondage video for predators who gorge on fantasies from these videos. Had over 40 million views. Wasn't funny at all. I didn't see it, but I read some articles on it. It was quite weird. Because of this attention, those videos have now been removed, but not before making the channel millions of dollars in revenue and advertisement. While that channel was removed, others have come up in the place and arguably far worse. Derek Brose, who writes for the Free Thought Project, conducted extensive research into the dark side of YouTube last month, and we found utterly shocking content. YouTube's on video depicting very small children, often in bondage or frightening situations with demon figures standing over them, some of these demon figures exposing themselves. While many of the videos were computer-generated, others depicted real children in heart-wrenching scenarios, very very disgusting, too much to describe on this show here. And so this is something we've seen repeatedly occur on YouTube, yet they never take this stuff down. Rarely, unless it gets full-blown mainstream media attention, they let it flourish,
that's right.
They let it roll. Yet anybody that comes out and talks about, hey, we should probably question the narrative on what happened at the Parkland shooting. We should really question why a teacher saw a firearm that she had never seen before and an individual in full military gear walking down the hallway shooting at students. Why don't we question that? Oh, no, that's verboten. You can't talk about that. That has to be pulled down. That can't be addressed. That has to be censored immediately. These are the things that we have to start addressing and have to start making them completely and totally available to the public to talk about. And as again, as Tommy Robinson said, you are not just censoring us. You are not just censoring him. You are preventing the people from having the option to hear the truth. And that is full-blown tyranny, and that is not something we continue to allow. Dad, I heard you jump back on. Are you off the show?
Yeah, I was on with Mancow this morning. We just did a live podcast, and he, since he was on with me last week, he said, "Can you come on?" I said, "Well, it's in the middle of my show." He goes, "Well, can you come on?" I said, "Well, I can for a few minutes." And so we talked about what was going on with fluoride this morning on Mancow's show, with the water in Chicago being so toxic. And again, remember, fluoride is put into the water to make you servile and infertile. The Jason scholars figured out that the one thing they had to do is reduce the population of the planet, and it was a group think tank, and basically it was tied together with a lot of different think tanks, and one of the biggest think tanks ever to come out was the Frankfurt School, and we talked about that yesterday and also on Monday on the show. And this was a group of scholars that were basically out of Frankfurt at a smaller university there, and they worked together to bring in communism into Germany and into Europe. And it was interesting because this was considered an anti intellectual threat of Nazism, as far as with the Nazis, what they were doing, and they were increased to political violence. And the founders decided to remove the Institute of Social Research out of Nazi Germany in 1933. This was after when Hitler came into power, and soon this institute was moved to Frankfurt, from Frankfurt to Geneva, and then to New York City. Now, listen to this, guys. This is the group of communists that were in Germany. They went to New York City, and in 1935, this group of communists moved to Columbia University. This is where Cloward and Piven came from. And then the school journal, basically the Magazine of Social Research, was renamed to Studies in Philosophy and Social Science. Thence began the period of the school's important work in Marxist critical theory. And the scholarship and the investigational method gained acceptance among the academy and in the U.S. and in the U.K. And by the 1950s, the paths of scholarship led Horkheimer, Adorno, and Pollock to return to West Germany. They went back into Germany again, whilst Marx, Lowenthal, and Kirchheimer remained in the United States at Columbia. And in 1953, the Institute for Social Research, the Frankfurt School, was formally reestablished in Frankfurt, West Germany. Now, I've got to say something about this very quickly, and I talked about it yesterday, but let me explain something. The whole key with these guys is they want children as young as they possibly can. That's why I'm going to tie this together with what you just talked about with this child bondage stuff on YouTube that was allowed. They realize that children until about the age of 7 or 8 are in a theta brainwave state, and that their minds and their brains are open to data input as reality and truth. Now, here's what happens. If you tell a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, there are 20 different types of genders. It's not just man or female. You got cisgender, transgenders, disgender, that gender, who knows what kind of gender. You tell them that and you train them that when they're 4 or 5 years old. They don't have a filtration system to stop that information from going into the brain. This is why it's so dangerous to do this to young children. And when you do that, you hardwire that information into their brain as if it is a fact that cannot be refuted. In other words, you're using the classical conditioning model in a theta brainwave state. If you're a little 4-year-old or 5-year-old and you say something to the teacher, well, my mommy and daddy say this isn't true. Your mommy and daddy are wrong. Do you understand? And you publicly humiliate them in front of the classroom. You do it on purpose. They're trained in this technique. You publicly humiliate them in front of the classroom, which forces them into compliance because they want to be accepted by their peers. And so you, over and over and over again, you reinforce this cognitive behavior loop in their brain until it becomes hardwired. And so then when the person now is like Cortez and she's 30 years old, And she talks about the Green Program, and she talks about all of the stuff that she talks about with such fervor and such zeal and such conviction. It's because she was hardwired and programmed. Now, you can take and show her the reality. You can show her the statistics. You can show her the facts. You can show her the research that shows she's wrong. You can show her double-blind clinical research studies telling her that basically everything she's saying is a lie, and that thousands of researchers and millions of participants in these giant studies have proven what she's saying is wrong, and it doesn't matter. You can't change her mind. Why can't you change her mind? Because she's been programmed. She's been hardwired in her brain. She has neural pathway circuits that have been established that cannot be extinguished. This is basically, they use this, and this is called intermittent conditioning. And they create this pathway over and over and over again through the entire educational process until this child comes out of high school as a social Marxist. I was so frustrated when my three younger children, we had them in a private school, and they would come home and they would start talking about Kwanzaa. They would start talking about the green agenda, and they would start talking about all of this stuff from the teachers that day. And I would tell them all, it's hogwash, it's hogwash, it's hogwash, it's all a lie. It's all a lie, it's all part of cultural Marxism. And they would be like, what is that, Daddy? Then I would explain that to them, because they were in that theta brainwave state. This is why it's so important that you do not allow your children, if at all possible, to go to a public school that teaches this kind of trash. Put them in a Christian school. If you can do it, homeschool them. Teach them what you can. This is also why they're giving the immunizations, because they've got to dumb them down. They know that the aluminum and the chemicals are going to dumb them down and make it easier to program them while they're in a theta brainwave state, because they'll never have the IQ scores or the cognitive abilities to basically have concrete rational thought as an adult. And so what ends up happening is these children are programmed little robots that are hardwired to become socialist communists. Now, we never would have accepted communism in the United States. The communist group, the Frankfurt School, remember also, not only did they do this to our children as far as the societal trends, they're also the groups of the think tanks that have developed the MK Ultra mind control programs, and also the programs that are creating eugenics in the world as far as reducing the population of people that could think. In other words, they're trying to bring in people that have 59 IQs to breed with the people that have 120 IQs, to drop the aggregate IQ scores back down, to make our group of people that we have in the world a mestizo race, in order to create a control group basically of dummies is what they're trying to do. And so all in all, what we've got to say is this: we've got to make a decision on what we want to do and what we want to do, and where we want to do it, and we have to stand our ground. It's like Austin said, they bring this filth to us in YouTube, and they get billions of hits, billions, billions of hits on this child petty bot. And what they do, they're doing this, and a lot of people that are watching this are children. That's what people don't get. It's not just the pervs that are doing the perverts. A lot of children watch this stuff. I mean, they've got entire kiddie porn sites. And what they do is they're programming the children to accept this as okay. Yep. So you give a child who's 4 or 5 years old an iPhone, and one of his friends at school has been given one of these links by one of his weirdo friends who's older, and they all start watching it, they're 5 or 6 years old, they say, oh, it's okay to have this happen to you. It's all okay. This is all part of the cultural conditioning. This is all part of Aleister Crowley and his OTO, in which he raped thousands of little boys and said he sacrificed thousands of kids. Now, whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But the reality is this. This is what they want. This is basically, it goes right back down to the Canaanite mystery religions of Baal, Moloch, and Asherah. We've talked about it in depth on this show, and so far as I know, we are the only show that's ever talked about that and linked all the links together. We are controlled by satanic entities. They control the entire planet. They control the governments. They control the people. They do it through mind control. They do it through possession. They do it through DNA. They do it through everything. And this is what we have. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these entities that we cannot see. We live in an interdimensional universe. This is what CERN is all about. CERN's trying to open up portals into these other dimensions. And we, as soon as we figure out who and what we are in Christ, what we have to do is dig a hole. We have to dig a foxhole. We need to trench up and put a bunch of sandbags around us, and we need to sit there ready to defend our position. And we got to say, no matter what you do, you're not going to overrun my position, and I will fight to the last round, the last bullet that I have, the last word that I can say. I will not accept your indoctrination and your theology and your beliefs. And I mean theology as in their worshiping of Lucifer. And they want to bring us all – now you guys understand – and you understand what we've talked about and what the Genesis says about how every thought was evil all of the time, you have to be a special kind of sick to watch Bondage with Children. I mean, you have to be a special kind of pervert, unless it was done to you by culturist, Marxist, Frankfurt School, MK Ultra, mind control programming when you were just past being a toddler. And all of a sudden you think this stuff is okay. This is what they did, and we talked about earlier this week on Monday. You need to listen to that show. This is what they did with the women, with Gloria Steinem and all the weird junk that she said. This is what they did with Hugh Hefner. Everything was about breaking apart the social fabric of society. They had to be able to find a way to prevent nationalists from rising again. You know, Trump claims to be a nationalist. That's the buzzword that he used. But now we're being dragged into this pit with him saying he's a nationalist, doing everything against being a nationalist, including all these never-ending wars in foreign countries. And now nationalism, based upon how Trump's theology looks at it, is getting really bad rhetoric. I mean, what's the difference between Trump's nationalism and Obama and George W. and Clinton all the way back with all the never-ending foreign wars to basically feed the military-industrial complex? The same group of parasitic, interdimensional entities that control this planet are controlling the government of the United States and controlling world politics. Remember what happened in the New Testament with Jesus when he was fasting, and Lucifer, Satan himself, shows up. Remember, he's not omnipresent. He had to travel to get there, I guess. And he talked to Jesus, and he said, "Look, he took him up on the mount, and he says, I'm going to show you all of these kingdoms, and if you do but bow down and worship me, I will give you all of this stuff." Remember, they were Lucifer's to give. He owned them. He had them. He's called the God of this world. And he is the one that Adam and Eve sold out to with the snake in the garden, or the whole bit, went back in Genesis with the whole story that it talks about in the Bible. And this is the same group of people all the way from Genesis chapter 6 with the fallen angels that have been here. This is the quote-unquote the divine bloodline. And I don't mean Jesus Christ or God's bloodline. I'm talking about the Luciferian Canaanite bloodline. This is the group of people who believe that they can trace their lineage all the way back to Lucifer himself, to the Garden of Eden, when Eve was beguiled by the serpent. They believe that means she had sex with Satan and produced this lineage of satanic bloodlines. And this is the group of people that are continuing to run the planet. Now, do I believe all that stuff? Well, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. They all believe it, and they're willing to die for it. And this is why we have abortion, 40 million last year. This is why we're having all of this immigration. This is why we're having all these crazy laws passed. This is why Trump's doing his part now as a good little slave to basically take the guns away from the people in the United States with his rhetoric, one day say one thing. This is all Hegelian dialectic. This is all programming the masses. This is telling you what you want to think, creating a problem, action, solution, and then basically saying, oh, by the way, I was for you. Look at the speech I did in Texas, but I had to do this because look at this gun. Look what these people got shot over here. This is the problem that we're having. And now we're going to see if our governor now in the state of Florida, if he can really open up a grand jury investigation as to what happened down at the Parkland shootings. If they allow him to bring people in and testify, like you said, Austin, earlier in the show, the lady who saw this strange weapon who got hit by a stray bullet with these guys dressed in full body armor, when they put a full SWAT team in there, it wouldn't be a SWAT team. It would be a full – what would you call that, Austin, when you have a group of soldiers that were going together like a platoon or group?
From a lot of the research that I have heard personally from that down there, it was essentially a four-man fire team. It's a squad. A squad's usually five, can be four individuals, but four man's usually the basis minimum for a fire team. And that's what a lot of people brought up. And so, I mean, and I brought that up at the end of the show yesterday, that, I mean, the Florida Supreme Court, they did approve the Santez grand jury. They agreed to an impanel, a statewide grand jury, to investigate the school safety. The thing about this, though, we're going to see how far this is going to go, because, I mean, from what it says here in the court order, the grand jury will investigate whether district's refusal or failure to follow safe school safety laws put children at risk, whether government officials committed fraud by using public money designated for school safety, or whether schools intentionally underreported criminal incidences. The grand jury will have jurisdiction over the entire state. Will be presiding judge will be in the 17th Circuit. and it will meet for a year and have regular powers to issue subpoenas and indictments. Grand jury will have more legal might to investigate the Broward School District and others statewide, but the commission and several Parkland families have complained publicly about what they say is continued incompetence in Broward to implement school safety measures even now, more than a year after the shooting, in which the grand jury will investigate that as well. So we're going to find out real quick if this is actually an impartial grand jury and this is a legit group and they do get carte blanche to pretty much investigate what they want. This is exceptional. This is really good. The problem is, in my opinion, there were a lot of people down there in Broward County to pull off that entire hit team. That was not one of those, oh, there were one or two people that knew about it. That was a very, very, very big incident. Israel, Sheriff Israel, I know for a fact, was complicit in covering something up. What all he covered up, I don't know for sure because I do not know him personally, but from a lot of the intel that I've gotten from sheriff's departments, he was definitely complicit because he went completely against protocol, told the SWAT teams they were to stand down, told EMTs they were to stand down, told the paramedics they were to stand down, would not let anybody go in the school while there's an active shooter in the school for minutes upon minutes. There were even two SWAT individuals from an outside county, I think it was from the neighboring North County, that were in the area. They had actually just gotten done training at one of their local ranges. When they heard the call come in on the way home, they already had their gear, they already had their weapons, they jumped and headed all the way over there. They got there and were basically forcibly told to stand down and not allowed to go into school. I mean, these guys were hot, geared up, ready to go. They had just got off the ground as far as training all morning, and they were ready to enter that school, full gear, full guns, full ready to go, and they were told no because Sheriff Israel gave the order, essentially, from the top down, that nobody was allowed to enter the school while there's an active shooter in the school. That right there, in and of itself, proves there was something they were covering up. Even if you don't believe anything else because there's not enough proof, there's no question about it that a sheriff's department with SWAT teams on standby, on the ground, geared up, battle rattle, ready to go, were told to stand down and not enter the school while you literally hear gunshots ringing from the school windows as an active shooter, or shooters, I should say, were in the school. That shows you something was going on. So we'll find out real quick, Dad, if this grand jury is actually going to be able to do something over the next year. I really hope they are, and I'm very glad that DeSantis is strong enough of a patriot to call for this. Not only call for it, he demanded that they do this, and they have now given in and given him this grand jury. So hopefully nothing intervenes in between the two from getting the desired result and the truth of what really happened down there.
Well, this again tells you how important judges are when they get appointed.
Yeah.
I don't know who the judge is in this case, in this grand jury investigation, but the problem with judges are they can allow information to come in and evidence to come in, or they can say they're not going to allow it. They can do anything they want. They can direct the course of the trial. They can say, we're going to bring the woman in who basically said she saw a Mossad hit team with their weapons coming into the school, a fire team, and the judge will say, no, this is hearsay, this is not true, she doesn't know what she's talking about, we're not going to allow that evidence. And so they don't allow it. And they just say no and no. I had years ago. I had a pastor who was a friend of mine, and up in Ohio, and he had a little child who had come into the nursery one day, like a 5-year-old, and the mother came to the staff after Sunday school was over with and says, "You hit my child," and nobody hit the child. And there were 25 witnesses in the classroom that saw that nobody hit the child, and they said, "We didn't hit the child." And the one goes, "Yeah, you hit my child. My child said you hit him, and we didn't hit him. Nobody hit him. There's all these people." Evidence to prove this. So they sued them. They sued the church. They sued the church for millions of dollars. The church it went to trial, and the judge, when these other 25 people came forward to testify, said that they would not allow their testimony. They wouldn't allow the testimony. They were eyewitnesses, and they would not allow the testimony. So the only witness that was allowed was the child who said that so-and-so, somebody hit him. And the church lost millions of dollars in the lawsuit. Had to pay this person millions of dollars because they would not allow the evidence to be heard. And see, guys, this is the problem. When we have these federal court judges that are super liberalist, who are basically these Cloward Piven goons, these Frankfurt School goons, these socialist communist goons that get put into the court system, and if they're a federal court judge and they're appointed for life, just kind of screwed, to be honest with you, because if you get in front of one of these guys, they may or may not even allow the evidence that can exonerate you to be even heard. This is the problem with the court systems that we have now. This is why they always go to plea bargains. Well, we're going to let you plea bargain this down. We're going to let you plead this and this and this, and we're going to give you this, this, and this. This is why, 90% of the cases now get plea bargained, and nobody goes to court anymore because everybody's scared what the judge is going to do. I mean, I had a judge, me personally, years ago, I had these death threat letters, and some crazy stuff happened, and I took the person to court to get a restraining order to get the death threat letters to stop. And this person, the first question they asked was like, are you the one doing this, blah, 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 I plead the fifth. Now, normally in a court hearing like that, if a person pleads the fifth, they're going to plead the fifth through everything. They're not going to be allowed to pick and choose what they want to plead the fifth on. This judge allowed the person to pick and choose what they're going to plead the fifth on. I don't want to answer this, I plead the fifth. Okay, I'll answer that, I'll answer that. I won't plead this one, I plead the fifth. Over and over and over and over this went on through multiple attorneys and questionings. Didn't make a difference. The judge allowed it. The judge allowed it to happen. You think, well, wow, Ted, that doesn't seem fair. Hey, it wasn't fair. I had the evidence of all these letters. I have the person's sister who testified this was this person's handwriting. This was in her behavior to do stuff like this. And this sister was a full bird colonel in the Army who testified for me. I'm not making this stuff up. It all depends, Austin, on this Parkland shooting, on what type of evidence this judge is going to allow. If the judge doesn't allow Sheriff Israel to take the stand, or if Sheriff Israel pleads the fifth with everything he says, or if these shooters, basically, or these teachers start, saying, I don't remember anything. When people start getting suicided around you and people start getting beaten up, people start shutting up. I mean, look what happened with the WikiLeaks and the Democratic guy who got killed. I forgot the guy's name. I think it was Seth, I think. He ends up getting killed. I mean, all of a sudden, all the rest of the people start saying, well, there's a really big body count that follows the Bill Clintons and the Hillary Clintons around the world. When people talk about them like Vince Foster or whatever goes on, they just end up dead. Then people start shutting up. So the quicker they could do this thing, Austin, the better it's going to be, number one, because of time erases memories. People's memories get jumbled up. And number two, you need to have evidentiary proceedings as quickly as possible, so if there is any remaining physical evidence, it won't be tainted with or lost in the evidence room. I mean, are there casings on the floor, Austin? No one ever said anything about casings. What kind of casings? Did this fire team pick up their own brass? I mean, were they using nets on their guns to catch the brass? I mean, no one. Where's the videotape of this school? This school's covered in cameras on the inside. Why was no videotape released? All of this stuff needs to be asked, and I hope they do. Guys, I want to thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you so much for listening today. I apologize I missed the first part of the show. Guys, I had the opportunity, it's a distinct privilege, again, of praying for you today. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. I mean, we all pray for one another. We create this giant, dome of prayer, which is impenetrable. Guys, I love you. I really do. I appreciate you, too. You guys are family to me. Austin, I'm going to go ahead and cut off because I know you had a full show planned. And guys, and Austin, I'll have you do the write-up today. Write-up's on you because you know what you've been talking about. Guys, I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Also, too, this is something that I saw today that was quite sobering to think about. It was an article that popped up from the Capital Journalist. Said the U.S. war in Afghanistan has been going on for so long now that the newest troops weren't even alive when it started, nor were the newest troops even alive during the attack on 9/11. One of the new troops that just deployed to Afghanistan in the Marine Corps, Private Juan Telez, was born November 6th, 2001. This Friday will be the beginning of March, which it will now be the longest war that the United States has been involved in history. It will then beat the Vietnam War this Friday, starting in March, as going into 17 and a half years we have been in the Afghanistan War. And there is zero to show for any of it, except a body count of United States military and a whole bunch of Afghan poppy and heroin that has now been dispersed over the entire world for the better half of two decades. That is something that I think is quite troubling, and we should all again start asking the question, why? Why will we not pull out of Afghanistan? I already know the answer to that, but I want them to admit it. If they come out and they say, listen, we want to control, CIA comes out and says, we like to control the heroin production in the United States. Heroin's a commodity. Heroin makes money. Somebody's going to buy the heroin. Somebody's going to sell the heroin. Somebody's going to make the heroin. We want to oversee it so we can make more money to do our operations. I'm not okay with that. But at least you're not lying to me. At least you have the guts to say, this is why I'm doing it. If you don't like it, do something about it and call me out. And now the ball is in my court. But to lie to the population for almost 20 years now about the reasoning for being in Afghanistan, how it's to fight terrorism and how it's to fight ISIS and how it's to stop all these bad, bad Muslim terrorists from coming over here, which I agree, it's a huge issue. But stop bringing them in. Stop importing hundreds of thousands of them into Canada. Stop importing millions of them into Europe. Stop allowing them to come into the United States. Build a doggone border wall, which we've requested, which, by the way, if you guys have already seen that now, the House Democrats have voted unanimously to block Trump's national emergency declaration, which is unprecedented, the first time congressional challenge to a president's authority to invoke emergency powers since the creation of the National Emergency Act in 1976. It's the first time they've done this now. Now, it looks like this will move to the Senate, which will probably not go anywhere, more than likely. The Senate will probably block it. However, I don't know. There was still, from what I looked at on here, I think there were like 8 or 10 Republicans in the House that actually voted to block this National Emergencies Act in order to build the wall in Congress. So I found that to be rather troubling. Need to look up and find out who exactly those individuals were. But as we see these things going on right now and these endless wars and what we've talked about for years, since North Korea, essentially, we can't instigate a war in North Korea because Trump has kind of done, actually, I commend him for doing a pretty good job in calming down that rhetoric over there. It looks like they're having a meeting today at the summit, and so far things have gone fairly good. But of course, since North Korea is a non-Rothschild-controlled country, and it seems to be that a war can't be instigated right now. It's probably going to be pushed down the road until Trump's out of office. The Russian Security Council Secretary Nikolai Petrov has now told the Russian newspaper that the U.S., it has confirmed the U.S. is deploying military assets to Puerto Rico and Colombia for a future military intervention in Venezuela. He goes on to say, showing sarcasm and arrogance toward the Venezuela people, the United States is preparing military invasion of an independent state again. American Special Operations Forces to Puerto Rico and the landing of U.S. forces in Colombia has now been confirmed. Venezuela rejected humanitarian aid over the weekend imposed on it by the U.S. because it recognizes that Washington only uses aid as a precursor to military intervention, which is pretty accurate. Last week, President Putin said that Russia is militarily ready for a Cuban missile-style crisis again. The remarks were given to Russian media following a prior speech where he warned Moscow will match any attempt by the U.S. to station intermediate-range nuclear missiles in Europe in the wake of the now-collapsing INF Treaty. Putin specifically threatened deployment of hypersonic missiles on ships and submarines, which could enter U.S. territorial waters without detection if American intermediate-range missiles moved into Europe. They go on to say here that Ariza insisted that the current crisis in Venezuela and the U.S. interest is due to national resources, and it believes that Washington wants to unseat Maduro because they intend to regain control over the Venezuela economy. And for more hints that the U.S. is facilitating an upcoming military invasion and openly promoting a coup in the South American country, Vice President Pence on Tuesday delivered a straightforward message to Venezuela proclaiming interim President Guaitam. He said, "We, the Trump administration, are with you 100%. Via Twitter. So it looks to me, as we've warned about for quite some time now, that this will be the next standpoint that we're going to start something, as it seemed that we couldn't provoke enough of anything in Syria. We couldn't provoke enough of a war in North Korea. Trump was able to kind of de-escalate that situation. Now it seems to be Venezuela is one of the ones that he is capitulating on and he is moving forward with, because you have to remember as well, regardless of what they have planned, regardless of what they want to do, they always know, especially when it comes to war, the deep state and the globalists have to have some level of public approval, because they saw what happened in Vietnam. They saw the protesting. They saw the rioting. They saw all the civil unrest that occurred by the time people had enough of that war, which now, of course, we've seen there's been no civil unrest, no protest. The Afghan war continues to go on now, pushing into 18 years now, longer than the Vietnam War. Now we have United States Marines that are deploying to Afghanistan that never even saw 9/11 happen, nor the start of the war that they're actively fighting in, which is quite troubling to me. So these are things that we need to be aware of, and we have to talk about them. When you talk to people, when you run into people, when you see people, bring topics like this up. Obviously, you don't have to hit them in the face with a fire hydrant like Dad talks about. You know, a glass of water to warm them up and engage them in conversation and discuss topics with them that need to be addressed. Those are things that we have to start doing, because the mainstream media is failing right now, guys. They are in a tailspin, especially after this whole Jesse fake hoax crime, idiot Empire actor got busted. They are in a tailspin now trying to figure out what to do, because more and more of these attacks on MAGA hat wearers are occurring, and there's only going to be a certain point that this is going to go further. Once it happens to an individual that's armed, it's going to go sideways very quickly, like the individual in Kentucky that was wearing the hat and the guy pulled the Glock 40 caliber on him at Sam's Club. He's blessed that that guy wasn't carrying a firearm, because that would have turned into a doggone gunfight in Sam's Club. And once they recorded, saw the video recording, they would have seen that this guy instigated the firefight and pulled a weapon on somebody simply because he was wearing a hat. That would have turned sideways again for the mainstream media and all the rhetoric and hate towards individuals that want to promote nationalism in the United States. So just things to look at, things to think about. Thank you guys for being on the show with me today. Thank you for listening. I enjoy it when you guys are here listening. I look at all the numbers. I see how much we're growing. I see all the input that we're trying to do. I get the emails. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the show notes. I've been so busy lately, I haven't been able to respond to a lot of the order comments. We try to get to them here and there, but we have been very, very busy in the office lately. So I appreciate the support and everything that's going on. Thank you for everything you continue to do for us and forwarding our show. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter, and you can go on that free weekly newsletter and forward it to other people. You can also go on our website and look at a lot of these show notes and articles and topics that we talk about every single day on our show. So be sure to check those out. And of course, the different products and sales and specials. It looks like we're going to be having our organic full spectrum CBD oil coming in tomorrow. Got a huge shipment of it coming in. It'll be going on the website on Friday. Really good formula. Have used it a bunch now. Primarily helps me out with a lot of inflammation I've noticed after my workouts, which is the biggest pro that I've gotten from it. So I really like it. That's going to be coming out. So look for it on the website on Friday. Thank you guys for all your support. Thank you for everything you do. Keep up the good fight. Stay frosty, my friends, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.